Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into another episode of 5 Out.
When you say 5 Out, what do you mean by that?
We got to talk about the Celtics, how they did against the Heat, and just some bigger picture stuff. Ty has a wild take based off of a question that our one of our fans asked us about. You guys can send us those on Twitter at 5OutPod or on Instagram, same handle. We're also going to be talking about some of the Kobe stuff as well. Shaq, AI, T-Mac, all these guys have been talking about how they've been impacted. We will have Matt over the phone to talk about some of that stuff because we'll be talking about the media handling the situation, how the league is honoring Kobe and the players. Are they handling it the right way, the wrong way, so on and so forth. We'll touch on that. And then we got Chris Middleton, Bradley Beal, Zion, Perk. All those guys are getting brought up in the course of this episode.
And let's get it going.
I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just trying to spend the night with it, yeah. I just want to be all right with it, yeah.
So I just got this. I got an amazing compliment from Glenn, actually, after the show. I was so. I've never been so, in my professional career, I've never been so, felt so accomplished, I guess. Yeah, I guess is a way to put it. Glenn was very happy with how I handled writing about the game. The Celtics win over the Heat. He said it was a big game for them. It was like the most optimistic he's ever sounded about
the Celtics. He's giving the Celtics credit for a big win. He's not saying, no, it doesn't really mean anything. They're still a cute little team. They're not going to win in the postseason. This means nothing. That's what he usually does. You're telling me he did something different?
It actually kind of devolved into that, but he did say, but he did say that it was big for them because it shows that they're not necessarily a cute little team, I guess. He didn't use that term at all in the course of the conversation, but he did say that they proved a lot. They were able to break down their defense even without Tatum when they're stopping them and forcing them to shoot the mid-range. No Cantor and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But still, at the end of it, Glenn's always like,
the cute little team.
Yeah, don't act like they're going to contend this year. And I didn't feel like getting in. We'd been talking for like 10 minutes at that point.
I want to talk about my cute little team.
Yeah, well, Gilroy's very excited about it.
Will he ever accept the invite to come on 5 Out? I heard this from like episode 2 that he was going
to
come on.
Well, I'm supposed to go on with him on Saturday for on-air stuff before the Philly game. He's going to come on, but he hasn't been in. I don't want to make him drive from New Hampshire to come here.
The paths have to cross just conveniently.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's what I'm hoping for.
It's a long drive from where he's at.
At some point, I may just say screw it, and then it'll just be me and him that does the episode. But I wanted to have you and Matt here for that. Matt's not here, though we're going to have him over the phone to talk about some of the Kobe stuff that's been going on, because obviously there's still a lot with that. But before we get into that, we wanted to touch on the Celtics and everything. But the one thing Glenn asked me, what led to Glenn saying they're not going to contend is, I guess, it must have been like a radio.com story where they were talking about like bigs that the Celtics could target. Because I'm the one that writes all the Celtics stuff for the website. No, I get a little help here and there, but
yeah,
it's just me mainly. And there was, Nerlens Noel was brought up, and he asked, was that you that wrote that? I was like, well, yeah. I mean, it's me, it's basketball, it's our site, of course. And I'm a Noel fan. He said, well, then why, you brought up trading Robert Williams. Are you sure that was you? And I was like, no, I would never say Robert Williams. I couldn't find the story, but Robert Williams.
That makes no sense. That's like trading young Nerlens Noel for old Nerlens Noel.
That's exactly what the both of us said. I couldn't.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Whoever wrote that for radio.com, I haven't looked at who it was, but that's just,
it's probably Nick Wright.
Yeah, maybe. These are some of the stories, though, that are out there. It's just the trades make no sense. And then when Antoine Walker's on, talking with Dalen Keefe, he was saying how they need to get a big, but it's like that's, it's not what they're going to go for. I talked to Mutt about it the other day. Bielitz is a guy who makes sense. John Krause was mentioning that to me the other day from Sacramento.
The Kings are moving on from their guys now. They're blowing it up, it looks like.
Yeah,
you got rid of Willie Cauley-Stein for nothing, a second-round pick.
A second-round pick. That's right. That was, yeah.
He would have fit here, wouldn't he have? Why weren't they? Is the contract not good? I don't know where it is.
Okay, for what we all say, for like what everybody speculates on the outside, yes, I would agree. I think that the Celtics could use a guy who's going to help down low defensively and still kind of defend the perimeter as well. But it seems like they're trending more towards, we want a guy who can shoot from the outside, provide, at least stretch the floor, if he's not going to provide a huge jolt of offense off the bench, but also defend the perimeter, and he's long, ideally. That's why Bertans makes sense. That's why Gallo makes sense, based on what they looked at. Are they going to get them? I don't think they will.
No, they're not making a big move.
But that's why Bielitsa, like, kind of makes sense. He can help stretch the floor, and he's long, and he's not like this banger down low necessarily. We all say get a big that can throw, like, that's physical, like Cantor, but mobile. Yeah. I just don't – it doesn't seem like that's what they're going to go for.
No, the fans want a defensive anchor, and Nemanja Bielitsa is not that.
No, he's not.
He's not a defensive anchor.
No.
He's a heat check big man. That's what he is. He's seriously – like, he will go for 30 – like once or twice a year, and just be like, who the hell is this guy?
Would you have wanted Willie Cauley-Stein, though? I would have been.
For a second round pick?
For a second round pick, yeah, of course.
I'll pick up Willie Cauley-Stein from the airport at Logan.
Yeah, that would have been. They didn't fleece him on that one, but.
Because what's the gain for the Warriors? I'm sorry, for the Kings in trading away a guy you just brought in the offseason?
It was Golden State that fleeced. Right. You got rid of him, yes.
Right.
And then Golden State traded him to Dallas. He had been with Sacramento. He was not with Sacramento anymore. Sorry, I got a little confused.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, it's okay. No, I got confused too. It's okay. But it was still a surprising trade. I mean, I expect them, they're getting rid of guys and moving on and making adjustments, trying to reload going forward. But I was surprised they just said, yeah, we'll get rid of him for a second round pick.
Yeah.
To the Mavericks, where that's going to be, I don't know, probably 55, which, I mean, you're not going to get, usually you're not going to get anything. It's not like we're talking about, you know, pick number 32 who could turn into something.
A rotational guy for a second round pick's not bad, though.
Yeah. No, for the Mavericks, it worked out well. But with the Kings, they should be looking to get rid of guys. They got rid of Ariza. They got rid of Ariza.
I thought Willie was still on Sacramento.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I got confused. Okay. I was like, well, they're training away all these guys. Like, why? Like, they're not that bad.
But they got rid of Ariza, though.
They did get rid of
Ariza. So you're right on that.
Sent him for Bazemore, right? Who Bazemore sucks this year, too. Portland. You couldn't make any three-pointers.
Nope.
You're like 31%.
Oh, you know what? That was this is why we now have a Google Doc for the rundown, because did you see that stuff about Dame? He got Player of the Week last week. He had, was it three games over? No, it wasn't three games in a row over 50, was it? He's been on a tear lately.
Yeah.
But it's like, how many of those games are you winning in the course of everything? And it's not like he's winning all of them. He had to drop 60 to beat, was it the Warriors, I believe it was? At some point, that's not... You're not doing something right.
It's not a recipe for success.
Exactly. So, and that's the same thing with Trae Young.
It will last forever, yeah.
Even if it doesn't last forever, if you're not winning ball games now, then you're doing something wrong.
You're being too top heavy in a losing effort. Like, congrats. That's not that great.
You have to make an adjustment at some point.
Yeah.
Scoring a ton clearly isn't that necessarily. Not in their circumstances. But going back to the Celtics and everything, you know, I see, and I know you. And Matt, in the past, I've liked to poke at NBC Sports Boston, and they're talking about how, yes, the Heat are on a back-to-back in that game against the Celtics, and the Celtics don't have Jason Tatum. But
And Devontae Green.
And no none for the Heat in that game as well.
Which is a bigger loss than I expected.
Yeah, definitely. Especially coming into
this. They played Dragic like the entire game.
Yep. But my big thing is where, if you want to, like... Why I thought that was such a big win for them, the Celtics were on a road trip, right? Three-game road trip. Obviously, the Kobe stuff happened, and that was it had an effect on everybody, so you can't go and hold that against the, you know, somehow that helps the Celtics cause and hurts the Heat or vice versa or whatever. But the Heat have been at home. Their last road game was like the 19th. So the Heat have been at home this entire
time. San
Antonio, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like you have a back-to-back, yes, but you're home still. The Celtics have been on the road three games. They went from, what was it, Orlando to New Orleans back to Miami. Like, that's not...
The stars aligned for Miami to get an easy win last night, and it would, you know, the script was against the Celtics. The script was against them, and they... Really, it was that 8-0 run to start the game, and from then, the rest of the game was even.
Mm-hmm. And
stuff like that is just the difference. You start out strong on the road early, and it's the key to the win.
And with Hayward, right, we look at that game. There are two guys that stand out most. I would say it's Hayward and Brown.
He's back.
And that's what we start hearing. Now, look, Tice did well. Grant Williams did well. I didn't mention him in my story, but he did well. Marcus Smart did terribly until like the last 2 minutes and had some big plays. Grant was especially late too. But, I mean, I look at those two guys, but when it comes to Hayward, it's instantly he's back. Now, I wasn't down there in Miami, but my first question, tie off that, is we've heard, okay, your foot is an issue on some nights and it's not on others. And it's not, you know, it's not the ankle, it's the foot, okay? My question is, how did your foot feel last night? Because if it felt good, and then we've seen on some of these other nights where you're not so not doing so hot, or you're not quite as aggressive, how does your foot feel that night? Because that's where it's like, what guy are we going to get? And if you don't, if it felt like crap last night and he just played well, awesome, great. Then that's less to worry about. But if that's what it looks like when it feels good, Celtics can be really dangerous. But at the same time, we don't know what, like if it's bad, like if it's 50% on a night.
Yeah.
Like that's why you can't say, like, you can't jump the gun that he's back.
I don't know how much last night was due to the zone too, because they're running a zone of the Celtics, and it just seemed like that's something that Gordon really feasts on at times.
The mid-range game when he's got it going,
you put him in the middle of the zone, and Jaylen Brown too. Those two guys in the middle of the zone are gonna beat it. Like I don't know why you would ever run a zone against this Celtics team with Brad Stevens. It just seemed like a very odd choice.
Yeah, and well,
a team that shoots threes, you're gonna run a zone against them?
Well, no, and no, they did. What was it? They ran a 1-3-1,
you're letting the corner threes open with that defensive formation.
The second quarter, though, Ty, the Celtics sucked in the second quarter by comparison to especially Hayward and Brown, too. I mean, they did really well in the first and third.
They did erase the lead.
Yeah, exactly.
The 8-point lead was gone, but they got back slowly throughout the rest of the game.
But, I mean, that's the zone right now could be what, I mean, this might help the mid-range game, like, come back into the fray a little bit because you want to force guys to take that shot. If you don't have it in your bag, then it's like, you're screwed. I mean, we saw why you needed it. I mean, Kemba hit some shots, too, and obviously if you have Tatum in that game, it makes a big difference. But I was trying to tweet out some like subtly condescending tweets about the mid-range game being important for the Celtics last night. I don't think they quite hit.
No.
But no, not at all. But I mean, I'm watching. I'm like, but okay, Brown's hitting them. Hayward's hitting them. Kemba? I mean, how can we not see, you know, where is everybody that was complaining about Jason Tatum taking mid-range shots for however long he was doing it? It's like, you need it, guys. To some extent, it's important to what you do.
Marcus Smart's now a clutch three-point shooter down the stretch.
The thing with Smart is he's when it's late in games, yes, I don't think he's going to be affected by the big moments, but over the course of a game, you never know what guy you're going to get. He'll be a 35% three-point shooter throughout the season at minimum, but it just seems like some days it's 1-for-9, you know, 2-for-9, whatever, and then there are other days where he goes and rips off like 11 makes, and he goes 50% from the field, like from three-point line. It's just, I think, don't get me wrong, much improved over the years. I just don't know with him offensively sometimes.
He's
trust
Mr. Heat Check. He is a guy who he sees the first one go in, and it almost sets the tone for the night. You know?
Yeah, he's
taking that three with like 2 minutes left, and they're up like 5 or 6 in Miami last night, and he drained it. Like, no hesitation, left wing, gets the pass and drills it. They're up 9, dagger game over, Celtics win. Like, that's a Marcus Smart that if he can do that in the postseason, that can swing a series.
It's true. It's true. What he brings to you is a guy who just is not caught up in the big moment more than anything. He's a defensive stud, and then he's not going to get consumed by that. So if Tatum doesn't have the shot, my only concern with that, though, is Ty, because he's fearless, sometimes if you're just a little bit more patient, Tatum might have that shot, or Brown, or Kemba, or Hayward, all guys I'd rather have take a shot over him. Does he jump the gun? You know what I mean?
He's never the best offensive player on the court.
Never. No,
never.
If he's not, then Brad's falling asleep at the wheel with the subs.
Like, there was a lineup the other night that he threw out there that it was like Shemmy, Grant Williams, Brad Wanamaker.
Talking about Miami? So those three, and then it was Smart and Brown. Is that the one you're thinking of?
It was literally like two questionable offensive guys, or like two legitimate offensive threats and like three rookies.
Okay.
And Shemmy. It was like, whoa, why are we doing this lineup? Like, with an 8-point game? Like, come on, what's going on here?
The one that caught my attention last night was the one, it was Shemmy, Brad Wanamaker,
Grant
Williams, Marcus Smart, and Jalen Brown. I was like,
that's what I saw. I was like,
that was it. Yeah, I was like,
oh,
yeah, because now they're just gonna now they're gonna focus a lot on Smart. He's not gonna do anything. Obviously, they're gonna focus a lot on Brown. It's like, that's a bit much. But it ended up not killing him in the end. But my thing is, how do you feel about the Heat after losing that game to the Celtics last night?
Well, they should probably get rid of Dion Waiters.
Oh,
he stinks. He is cheeks. He's awful.
That's a good point.
He is miserably bad. I'm looking at him. He only played 7 games this year because he had the 4 games early in the season, had the gummy incident with CBD,
the gummies,
panic attack, whatever, and like had some weird suspension from the team for like 10-15 games, it was odd. But he's been back for three games, and they haven't really been good at all.
Yeah.
And they lost to the Clippers, got smashed by they did smash the Magic, and then they lost last night, and he's just jacking up shots left and right in bad situations. Doesn't seem like he has much of an IQ out there. Like, last night took a three when they needed, like, a two at a certain situation. It's like, I don't know, he seems very about himself.
And he complains a lot.
A ton. And he still looks fat out there.
Yeah, he looks bad. I mean, look, don't get me wrong, there are plenty of guys in the Celtics who complain a lot.
Yeah.
But you're Deion Waiters, dude.
Give me a tired Tyler Hero over Deion Waiters off the bench.
Yes, I think that's where we're starting, like, not having none, and then, you know, talk about Dragic getting a lot of minutes. Like, that's, I don't know Dragic's normal minute count, but obviously not being there hurt them a lot.
Yeah.
Now, one question that we got out of last night, and I got to pull up who it was that asked a question, but I think I know where I stand on this. Let's see. Would you guys take Jimmy Butler over Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum? I don't think I would. Neither one. And that question came from Jordan Benoit at Jordan_Benoit94 on Twitter. So, Ty, do you want to take it first?
Sure. The question, Jimmy Butler over Tatum and Brown.
Either one.
I would take Jimmy over Tatum.
You would take Jimmy over Tatum?
I would trade him straight up right now.
You would?
Yeah. Honestly, I would.
Wow.
Is that surprising?
Yeah, I'm very surprised. So first of all, I know you... You really are firmly higher on Brown than you are on Tatum.
I was higher on them to start the year.
Yes.
And after seeing them this year, I'm clearly higher on Jaylen than Jason.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I'm not.
You're stunned.
Yeah, I am stunned. First of all, I wouldn't take him over Tatum, and I don't think I would take him over Brown. Not at this point when Brown's clearly showing that he has a lot of room to grow, and he's been compared to the Butler before. I mean, I like a guy who's got some potential there, who's younger. You have him under contract for a while, and he doesn't. I know there have been, like, I wouldn't say Brown has issues related to him, like Butler has had in the past.
No,
although he was
leadership
right,
issues.
He
yes.
was right about the T-Wolves, though.
That, yeah, he knew that was a disaster, and he had to get out.
They suck. But dude, I wouldn't. No, I still think Tatum is better than Brown for one, and I still think that. And I absolutely think Tatum has the potential to be better than Jimmy Butler. We've seen that he's grown so much from last year, and he's grown from his rookie year, too. Clearly, that his sophomore year, you got to chalk up sophomore slump, that's fine. But then having all the personnel that was here made a huge, huge negative impact on him, and he just couldn't work through the things he needed to. No way, Ty.
Can I explain why?
Please.
I haven't done it yet. Yeah.
I'm stunned.
Jimmy Butler is one of the best two-way players in the entire league for the last, 5 years, 6 years, since he slowly progressed from like year three, four, five, and became an all-star in Chicago.
Yes.
I think that same trajectory is happening for Jaylen Brown. I don't think Jason Tatum's going to get any better than what he is right now. I think he is who he is.
Really?
I don't think he's ever going to be an all-pro defensive player. I don't think his ceiling is anywhere near Jaylen's in terms of the defensive end. And Jimmy has affected so many games like that. And if Jaylen can be of the similar ilk of Jimmy Butler's game, give me a great two-way player. I'm sorry, give me a very good two-way player over a great offensive player any day of the week.
A great two-way player over
no,
great
give,
offensive
give me a
player.
Give me a good two-way player good, over okay. a great offensive player.
But I don't.
So if you think Jason Tatum's a great offensive player, give me Jimmy Butler any day.
Okay, but here's my thing though: when you say great offensive player, what is he like on defense? Is he Kyrie Irving on defense, or is he like a serviceable defender?
Yeah, I don't think Tatum's ass on defense.
No, but that's the thing.
But I think Brown's better and will forever be better, and probably that gap will widen as the years go on.
But I think Tatum has significantly improved defensively. We're seeing how he's attacking the pass. Look, Jaylen Brown, if we're talking like one-on-one and you got to put one of those two on, let's say like Kawhi or LeBron, I know they're going to eat their lunch, but I'd feel more comfortable with Brown on them. Absolutely. But I don't think that Brown, when it comes to creating space, that is such a huge thing. We're seeing how well Tatum has done with it. That sidestep, step back that he has right now from three. I mean, no one else has that. No one else on this team has that.
No,
that's huge, and it's unblockable. It's unstoppable, and he's pretty good at it. Jaylen has been a better finisher, I would say, this year.
Much better finisher.
But
this year.
Historically,
he's been a better finisher
than Tatum. You mean?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. But I think he's. I didn't think he was that good last year. I think Tatum has grown each year, and to the point now where The complaints we're hearing about Tatum's layups are becoming very
That was very early in the season. That was something that like all three of us, especially Matt, was all over that early in the year.
Oh, he was hating it.
Yeah, he was not happy about that. But he has gotten better off that. But he is not as good of a finisher inside, and that's why he needs those step backs, because he cannot get to the rim as well as Jalen does.
He gets to the rim better.
He cannot, no.
Yes.
No.
He gets there better. He doesn't finish as well, is what I'm saying. Because he's trying to draw the contact too often, I feel like. Not so much now. Not so much now. We're not seeing those complaints on Twitter because you see them everywhere.
I guess I can give you that, but I would say you have to agree with me on this one. Jalen's a much better player in terms of getting to the free throw line than Jason Tatum is.
Yes. I mean, Brad even said it last year.
So
I got to look at those numbers.
Let's recap.
Now.
I think Brown's the better shooter, the better athlete, the better defender.
Better athlete, better okay.
He's all around.
I like how
all around. I think he's a better player, but people just don't factor in the defense nearly as much as the offense.
You're right. I think Tatum is a better. I think Tatum. Okay, hold up. You think Brown is a better shooter?
If
than
you're
Tatum?
A fantasy draft right now, you would still take Tatum over Brown. I would be on the opposite end of that.
No, I think I'd still. Okay, but we're not talking about fantasy drafts, because I can understand why, if we're talking fantasy draft, that you would go with Jalen over Jason, because there are some numbers that are better. I'm trying to pull them up right now.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about building a team, I think that you need Tatum because he takes more. Because who's the first option that the teams are trying to stop on defense for the Celtics right now?
It's
probably Kemba, right?
Yeah, Kemba would be number one.
Okay.
1B would be Tatum.
Exactly.
Say.
So that's – and then
But that's in terms of usage of the offense. I don't think it's in terms of, like, threat level, of course, those are, like, your two biggest threats. But I don't think that teams are focusing more on Tatum because it's like, whoa. We don't fear Jalen at all, so Jason's the guy we got to focus on.
No, it's not like that. No, I'm not saying, look, you have, the thing is, you have the both of them right now. It's starting to look like they were a great investment on Danny Ainge's part, like, whether you're talking about the draft, you're talking about, extending Brown. It's all been good. But I think that when you look at Tatum and if you took him out of this team permanently versus Brown, I think the guys who start defending Brown that were defending Tatum before, assuming they go on to him as opposed to Hayward, I think that Brown starts running into issues more frequently. I personally, there are sometimes I wonder, like, who do I enjoy watching more? Because I like how aggressive Jalen Brown is. But I just can't. I don't know. I just can't deny that he's a better offensive player, and I think that's what the league's built around. Ty, you know that. If they start changing the way that they call games, if the refs start changing things,
then we're acting like there's a 6-point and a 15% shooting percentage margin between these two players. Like they're like dead even this year.
Well, if you look at the 3-point
percentages, are like on Jalen's advantage. He's the advantage.
He's shooting 6% better from overall, and then from three, he's shooting 2.5% better. So, yeah, I mean, he definitely has the advantage.
So he's the more efficient player.
He's been more efficient, but I think he gets better looks than Tatum does, and I think a big part of that is because of Tatum, because he doesn't deal with the same guys that Tatum has to deal with. Now, at the same time, you go into Miami, no Tatum, and he goes and does really well. I think that's a huge sign. I think that right now, there's no doubt, though, the third best player, the top three guys, Hayward is not in there right now. When he's good,
it's Kemba, Tatum, and Enes Kanter.
Yes, Enes Kanter for sure. I was half waiting for the Gilroy Kanter drop.
He
on
needs
that one.
To come back here very soon.
Enes Kanter.
Yeah, there we go.
Enes Kanter.
Is that Dickerson?
Enes Kanter.
That's Dickerson for sure.
Kanter's just doing everything. That's just great.
He's looked a lot better. I'll give him that. But anyways,
all right. You want to call Matt?
Yes.
All right.
What's up?
How you doing?
Just wonderful. What a wonderful day.
I can't wait to hear about it later. So before we start about the Kobe stuff, I wanted to talk about something a little less serious just to get you loose. So Perk wants us all to put respect on Chris Middleton's name because he dropped 51 on the Wizards the other night. Ty was watching the game, and we'll talk about it later. But
it was a bad game.
What are your thoughts on putting respect on Chris Middleton's name?
Yeah, where was he when Team USA needed that?
Ooh, okay, there you go. Simple
Chris
enough.
Middleton, anti-American.
Yes.
There's my answer right there.
I like
he
it.
Did it again. The Wizards, I think defense is optional on the Wizards this year.
For real. And then Bradley Beal's complaining about not being an all-star and all this crap. I mean, they're brutal. But
I mean, how many times I wish I could look up right now how many times they've given up like over like 130. It's probably more than a few occasions.
I would say it's more than a few occasions.
When they get bludgeoned, they get bludgeoned. I was telling Nick earlier, they were playing some defense last night where they were fronting the post with no weak side
no
help. It's like this is a concept that Matt would be pulling his hair out like as a coach right now, for sure.
And that's probably why I don't watch Washington Wizards basketball.
I think, yeah, that's got to be at least one of the reasons why. I'm trying to
actually, there was a good game last night, though, even though if you talked about Celtics Heat, that was a good game.
Really good. It was a great game.
Yeah, it was. We were just talking about that, actually, yeah.
And then I was stupid enough to keep watching and watch the Kobe stuff because that didn't end well for me.
Yes, I can't imagine it did. I mean, we got, what was it, Shaq, T-Mac talked the other day on ESPN. AI put out something. D-Wade was on TNT, too. There was...
Rick Fox addressing whether he was dead or not.
Yeah, that's
weird. that was awful.
Kenny Smith breaking down. I mean, like, every one of those legends was in tears at one point or another.
Yeah, which one hit you the hardest, Matt?
I thought the Rick Fox one hit me in a different type of way because I was like, wow, I didn't even like think about that, how awkward that was for like, you know, and then seeing Kenny Anderson. But I would say that the two that hit me was Shaq one because I thought it made me think about like, oh, like, you know, we all have friends that, you know, we don't talk to, I don't know, like after time goes on, like you don't really stay that connected to, but you know, you still consider them friends and that. Like, that's kind of what Shaq was saying. Like, he said he didn't – the last time he spoke to him was at his game when he dropped 60.
Yeah, that was weird.
That didn't seem right, but I mean –
but it doesn't seem right because I thought they did that documentary.
In 2018, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I was a little
confused. I thought so. But anyway, the way he said it, I was like – or maybe – even if that was the last time they really talked, it's still, like, you know, years in between. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it hit me just because I thought, like, wow, really, like, you really think about that, how many people you lose connection to or you don't, life gets you caught up, so you don't really talk to people,
yeah,
you know, as much. And if that's the last time, you know, and then he's saying how, you know, he wish he could talk to Kobe one more time. And
yeah,
so that one kind of hit me pretty hard. And then I'd say the Jerry West one hit me even more.
When he talked about the Clippers stuff, too, that was crazy.
That was crazy. But it just, I don't know, it was kind of emotional because of how close I know, you know, they probably were. Like you said, he was like one of his sons.
Yeah, and he knew from day one with Kobe, like from the workout, that he was going to be something special. Like he was the one guy who knew had an idea of what he could really become. But yeah, there was, I mean, Ty, you have we have some sound. We got Rick Fox. You got the T-Mac one was crazy.
I think we should go with the T-Mac one here first because the other sounds more about like the media just screwing the story up. But
yeah,
the sound from T-Mac caught me off guard because it's a statement that I'm not really sure that people expected Kobe Bryant to say, basically saying like he wanted to die young and be immortalized.
Mm-hmm.
Give me one second, pull it up here.
Whoa,
have you heard this?
No, I haven't heard the T-Mac one though.
It's pretty weird. It was I was rattled when I heard it.
All right, so this is Tracy McGrady on The Jump on Monday. First time he reacted on national TV to Kobe Bryant.
This sounds crazy, but Kobe spoke this. He spoke this. He used to say all the time, I want to die young.
And really?
I thought he was crazy. He used to say, I want to die young. I want to be immortalized. And, you know, I want to have my career be better than Michael Jordan, and I want to die young. And I just thought he was just so crazy for saying that.
Yeah, and then as the clip goes on, too, I know Rachel Nichols kind of tried to help Tracy kind of backtrack it a little bit to say like it's a before he had kids because they've known each other since they were really young.
Right.
But still, it doesn't – I mean, I appreciate T-Mac for sharing that. It doesn't – no matter when he said it, it doesn't change the fact that it was like – there was a point where Kobe was like, this is what he was thinking.
No, there's no way he like really meant, you know, that he wanted to die at 41.
Yeah, not as a father.
Not as a father. But I mean, that's still you're not jarred by that at all.
I just think it's very odd.
I don't think T-Mac would. I know T-Mac's in a rough place right now, like so many of these guys.
No,
are,
I don't think he would share something that wasn't. Maybe Kobe said something like that, but I don't know if there was really meaning behind it.
Yeah, kids do say dumb things. I mean, how old was he when he said that?
I mean, probably. They're probably young. He definitely didn't say that as a father, man. He definitely was enjoying that. And everything you've seen on social media.
Hell no.
You know, proves that. I thought Charles Barkley also had like a good take last night. just kind of how he said, you know, he was really blunt and honest saying, like, you know, he wasn't friends with Kobe. He wasn't really close with Kobe, but it really affected him just because of, you know, the, and I think the NBA family, I think that's a pretty cool concept of how close most of those guys are and whether they're really actually close or they're just, you know, part of the NBA family kind of thing.
You see that with all this. It's clear. Like, there are some guys who you don't, you weren't, they're not associated with Kobe necessarily, but then there are some others who it's like, you know, and in either way, everybody's kind of impacted in some way, shape, or form. And then, you know, we kind of touched on it when we did the emergency episode. I didn't want to label it that, though, because it's just with the situation and everything. But when we talked about Kobe the day it happened, the handling of the media, and, you know, I had one opinion about it, but I kind of thought about it later on. I was like, nah, this is, like, how bad some of this stuff was handled, the way it was handled about his kids, the Rick Fox situation. I mean, when we listened to when Kenny, do we have the Kenny cut, Ty, when he talked about Rick Fox and dealing with that situation?
But what, this is something, boy, Boston needs a half life.
That's not the right guy. This is Kenny Smith saying Kemba Tatum and Brown are like a smaller Curry, Thompson, and Durant. Not a funny moment there. Give me 1 second. I literally just had it in front of me. All right, here we go.
Then I'm driving home, and I get the text that Rick Fox was on the plane, on the helicopter. And I tell my dad, I'm driving with my dad, I said, I can't check, because I'm driving, and it would be too much for me right now. So King Rice also used to come with Rick, and they'd stay in my house. So I call J.R. Reed, because I know he's on the staff as well. And I text him, and J.R. doesn't text me back. So now I'm like, I'm super nervous. And so we're at my house, and I'm just waiting, and I'm debating what to do. And I'm telling my son, I'm like, I don't know if I should call him. And so I just text Rick. I said, just say hey. And he texts back, hey, with a broken heart in my heart. And I just screamed. The race to be first.
Yeah, that's irresponsible.
Tell the story.
Yeah.
You don't know what it does.
It's irresponsible.
It was irresponsible. And yeah. Almost all of the blame, I don't know how closely you guys followed immediately after the breaking news came, but the first time the nation found out about this news was during the Pro Bowl on ESPN. I think ABC was also carrying a live coverage as well. And I want to
play.
Go ahead. What's up?
TMZ reported it first, right?
Yeah, they had the news, the immediate breaking news, but I'm talking about the flubbing of the story of, like, Rick Fox and the daughters all being on it. Listen to this
and
audio.
That was, now, who was that, though?
That was ABC that messed that portion up of it.
But yeah, that was horrible.
This is an idiot from ABC News named Matt Gutman. This is such a horrible report. This is how the nation found out, the immediate report on the Pro Bowl.
Just before I ran out the door, my wife said, oh, my Lord, you know, we grew up with Kobe. And the fact that four of his children are believed to be on that helicopter with him, all daughters, one of them a newborn, is simply devastating.
He's saying the belief is that all of the daughters were on there. You cannot do that.
You should be fired.
Absolutely. That is so irresponsible and reckless.
It's terrible.
And the whole problem with the whole thing is that, because realistically, TMZ should have never even broke the news until the sheriff's department told Kobe's family, like all the families that were involved, that this happened.
So hold up. So that's the thing, Matt, and that's what I was saying to Ty. This is what's so messed up in all this is when now does this guy have do you have the whole clip of the TMZ guy talking? So listen to this, Matt. This is where stuff gets manipulated and certain people catch blame and certain people don't. Where TMZ actually doesn't deserve blame. ABC does, but TMZ is going to catch the brunt of it.
Yeah, this is Harvey Levin calling into a Los Angeles radio show yesterday talking about, hey, how did this all go down?
It's like, crazy.
Did you guys break the news before the Bryant family found out? And Harvey says, no, we followed the right protocol.
Number one, we dealt with Kobe's people for an hour before we published the story, and we were told very clearly that that she had been notified, number one. Number two, again, I got the tip initially from law enforcement, from a source that I've had for years. And then we talked to Kobe's people, and we were dealing with them for an hour before we published the story, and they said, go for it. At a point, we were all trying to confirm it, and we confirmed it, but they all knew, and they said, go for it. And they said she knew. So I'm not sure what he's saying on that. You know, I talked to one of Kobe's people today, and they felt that that, you know, there was a leak that ABC published a story that all of Kobe's kids perished in the crash, which was erroneous. And somebody from Kobe's camp told me, you know, they felt that that may have well have been a leak from the sheriff's department, and you know, that they had their own issues when they walked out there. So I'm not sure what he's talking about.
He in the story is the Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva, who came out immediately and was like, "Hey, this is disgusting." That TMZ is breaking the news before the families found out. And obviously, that's Harvey Levin saying, that's not really how it worked out. So in this thing, TMZ journalistically did their job correctly. Yep. And those idiots at ABC News, the first time the nation really finds out, unless you're on Twitter following TMZ, the ABC News outlet and the reporter dropped the ball, and TMZ got it right, which is insane to me.
Yep. It's crazy. It's and then the TMZ guy goes and gives the radio station crap about it. Like, did you guys report? Did you guys? What the heck are you doing over there, Matt? Jesus, you're
what?
Whatever the heck you're moving around and doing right now. We're recording. God,
I'm outside.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't have guessed that. Anyway, what I was saying was that he gave the guy crap for, like, did you guys pick it up? Did you guys report it? And they're like, well, you know, yeah, whatever. It's like, so it's the same thing. It's the same difference. Well, what if people doubt, if you're going to give TMZ crap for it, then you should have been waiting for three people to report this. Like, you can't just go and jump and use their report and then, you know, wag your finger at them. I agree with them 100% on that. We waited over, you know, I was talking to Hannibal when we were doing this, and because Rob was doing something else, and it was TMZ, ABC, and then it's like, we're waiting for Woj, Shams,
one more,
you know, Stein, someone like that who would have it, someone who's like big in the NBA that's gonna have it. We gotta wait because we'd seen the sheriff's report, so we knew there was a crash, not a report that Woj wants to be putting out there. But once he put it out there, then it's like, okay, you know it. And then the same thing happened with the kids too, because that was where it got even worse. It's terrible. So anyway, and then Rick Fox is dealing with it on his end too, because, you know, he's got people thinking that he died, too.
Yeah, Matt, when you were first following the story, did you see the reports about Rick Fox or that all the daughters were on there at all?
So realistically, my brother was the one that kept, and my dad, they were the ones that first broke it to me through a text. And then like, my brother was like, you know, he was wherever he was seeing the Twitter stuff, he would be like, he said Rick Fox was supposed to be on the plane and possibly all his daughters. So he was, like, reading all the minutiae that was being thrown out there.
Okay. Yeah, it was – I mean, I remember seeing the Rick Fox thing. I'm like, why was he with them? I don't know. I know that they played together and, you know, there's some relationship, but why is he – where is this coming from?
Unless, like, their daughters played together or something.
Maybe.
Like that, but they didn't. So.
So it was very strange.
Yeah, it was weird that Ty came in, but, yeah, this audio was – probably the worst one for me, because he's talking about how his family was personally affected by the media dropping the ball in the story and how he was put in the helicopter and reported as being dead. And here's Rick Fox yesterday on the Kobe tribute show.
Fortunately, you know, one of my daughter's greatest fears is finding out that a parent or one of her parents would be lost through social media instead of from a loved one or a family member. And you know, she fortunately called me, and we just were talking and crying about the news of Kobe and my son. And then we started, you know, so we were talking. I was talking to my kids, just trying to spend the time with them. And then the phone just started going off. And I'm thinking to myself, everybody wants to talk about Kobe. And I right now want to be with my kids and my family. And then all of a sudden, my best friend, King Rice, who's a basketball coach. You know King, Kenny.
North Carolina. I'll tell you the story between King and Kenny.
Okay, he walked off the court at Iona, and somebody apparently told him that I may have been on the helicopter, and he started calling. So I'm seeing King's number, you know, repeatedly going and going and going, and I think he's worried about me. So I said, I'm going to talk to my best friend. And I answered, and I said, hey, man, this is crazy about Kobe. And he just was bawling. And I started crying, and he was like, you're alive. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, like, what do you mean? And it was in that moment that my phone just started going, and my mom and my sister and my brother. And so, look, this has been a lot to process for all of us.
Unreal.
Quite frankly, we're blessed to have had the time we had with Kobe.
So just to be clear, Ty, Okay, his daughter and his son were on the phone with him when the Kobe news initially broke.
Yeah.
They knew he was fine. But his sister, his mom, his best friend that was the Iona coach, they did not know. Those were all the people that were like confused afterwards.
And all of us in the media and the fans, all had saw or had heard rumors. And I think it all started from a viral Facebook post. And Rick Fox was on there. And I think like Courtney Fallon from WEI reached out to Rick Fox's daughter and was like, is this true? And the daughter said, like, no.
I just talked
to my dad and Rick's fine.
Yeah.
So it's a big, big major L taken there by ABC News. And
so many.
It was a weird story to follow all throughout the day. It did see today that they have recovered all nine bodies. But this is a story that's not going away. I don't know what the next legs of the story are. It kind of seems like maybe the jersey retirement or the number retirement stuff.
So there's a lot, Matt. Have you seen some of this? How like guys are talking about getting rid of or not wearing number 8, number 24 anymore? Have you seen that?
I was actually going to bring that up. It kind of was pissing me off that people like were getting all pissed off at players that didn't want to, you know, give up the number.
So you're seeing, okay, I haven't seen that yet.
Not like people that actually matter. I'm talking about, you know, the scum of Twitter. I've seen some people like some of the stuff they say, it actually bothers me.
So they're saying like I haven't seen any of this. So they're saying you're an asshole for not
getting rid of the number? Yeah, like I've seen some stuff. I saw some who was the first? He's on the Pacers. I don't really know.
I got to get that right. I mentioned that to Ty earlier. I don't know his name. But Kemba's might not get rid of it. It doesn't sound like he's going to. We have some of that we can play later.
Yeah, and I honestly think that they shouldn't. If you feel like that's your way of honoring him, then keep his number.
Right.
Unless it's like a league wide thing where you, then fine. But you know, guys should have a choice. Like if they want to give up his number and whatever, so be it. But you know, if you want to honor him, like Kemba, you know what? Kemba's got that Mamba in him. So you know what? I think he's doing Kobe an honor by repping that number.
It's Elise Johnson, who's the guy in the Pacers who's wearing number 24. Yeah. That doesn't want to get rid of.
And he wrote a really nice thing on Twitter, and there was people like saying something. I'm like, dude, people are so suck. Like, whatever. This is his way of honoring Kobe. Everybody honors some way in a different way.
Exactly. I have no problem with guys want to get rid of it, but when you retire a number league wide, like I know this is a weird circumstance because he died so young, but it's just, I mean, there's that, Matt, and I don't think the league should retire the number. Ty, you agree, should not retire 8, should not retire 24.
I wouldn't have a problem with it, but I would choose no if I was the commissioner.
The Mavericks have retired 24.
I don't think they need to.
No, I don't think so either. And this is, Matt's as big a Kobe guy as anybody is out there. The Mavericks have retired number 24, though. So
that's a nice gesture, but
it's one thing with your own organization.
And you're not wrong. No one's wrong for not doing it. What's up with this, like, I mean, I don't know how legitimate it is, like, why are people, there's 2 million people sign a petition to have him as the new logo?
So there's this there's another artist, too, out there who's designed, there's a few artists that have designed a logo with Kobe there. One of them's Boss Logic, who does a lot of great work. I actually follow him on Instagram, and he does a decent amount of basketball stuff, too. I highly recommend following him if you guys like that kind of stuff, but he does a lot of superhero stuff. Anyways, the point is, he made a Kobe one, a couple of them, and it looks pretty good. He did one with Lakers colors, one with the NBA colors. But the NBA I was reading this off of a post that Greeny wrote on Barstool. Apparently, they don't treat it like they don't want the logo to be a specific player. Like that's it's like they're the league's not.
Everyone knows it's Jerry West right now.
The league's not acknowledging that it's Jerry West. Apparently, I don't know. It's very strange. But that's
why the nickname's the logo.
Yeah, that's weird.
I don't. But that's why. I guess that's why. I don't know. I mean, again, I have like Keith actually talked about some solutions for how you handle this situation. Mannix proposed, what was it, the All-Star game this year? One side wears 8, one side wears 24. I think that's awesome. The other thing was that Keith brought up, name an award after him. I think that's a great idea. Permanently name an award after Kobe. What do you think, Matt?
I think that's pretty cool. I also saw something today. It said call it the Bryant Center instead of Staples Center. I know they wouldn't do that, but that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, you could call it the the Staples Bryant Center?
They said, yeah, you couldn't get the Staples out of there, but I'm just saying.
Kobe Bryant Court at Staples Center or something. You know?
Yeah, you could do that.
Something.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool. Like, at the end of the day, as an organization, like the only team that really needs to do stuff like that, to me, is the Lakers.
Yeah, the Lakers.
Not the Mavericks.
No, not the Mavericks.
Nah, and the fact that they did it, it's a nice gesture, but I don't think they had. Like, they didn't. That.
I think naming an award after him, I think Keith said do the All-Star Game MVP. I'm fine with that. He won it like three or four times or something like that. Like, what, three and a half times? Sure, shared it with Shaq that one time. I think that's a good idea. Go with that. But not the logo.
No on the logo?
No, on the logo.
Paul Pierce wants it to be the logo.
Does he?
You haven't heard this yet? This is Paul Pierce with TMZ saying it should be the logo and they need to do more. Retire the number and the logo as well.
So you want to see a Kobe Bryant day? So is that the best way to honor him? Just...
That retire his number around every arena.
Right.
I mean, he has such an impact on our game, on this generation, that you have to make his presence felt and continuously felt, you know, forever.
Some people are saying change the logo, you know, the
I'm
NBA
with
logo.
That too.
You're with that too.
I'm with that too, man.
All right, you're the man, Paul. Sorry. Take care.
it's a lot. I'm just laughing at the TMZ people. They're so annoying.
That's too much.
Yeah, I mean, this is coming. And actually, they're showing the graphic right now on ESPN. All these guys who were eight are changing their numbers. Spencer Dinwiddie was the first. Then you got Markieff Morris, Terrence Ross, and the graphic's gone. But a lot of guys have done it. And, I mean, again, it's fine that you want to do it. Especially like if that was your favorite player growing up or whatever, I have no problem you want to change it. But to say no one can ever wear it again, I mean, MJ's the number two. I know he didn't pass away, but... He's the number that we have always said if you're going to retire somebody league-wide, it would be MJ, I would think, because he's the greatest player of all time. But they haven't done it with him.
No, and they shouldn't. But I think that they definitely, like you said, they should an award or something at some point with his name on it would be pretty cool. I mean, if you think about it, he really did transcend the NBA along with, you know, obviously it started with Bird and Magic, and then Jordan took the reins, and then, you know, Kobe and now LeBron. So, I mean, Kobe definitely has had a huge impact in the NBA. So, I mean, whatever they decide to do, a lot of people have already done really nice gestures and all that stuff. So, again, however they want to, you know, represent and respect them, like, you know, they'll come up with something. I just don't want it over the top. Like, let's not do 1,000 things here.
Right. That's what happens.
Kind of overdoing it.
Yeah, that's the thing that happens with these type of things. And I get it. Like, he went too soon, and I respect honoring him maybe more than you would have if he hadn't passed away soon. Like, that's totally fair because it rocked everybody because we were all cheat. Like, everybody was cheated. You know, I think who was it that said that the other day? I think it was Kendrick Perkins. Like, the world is getting cheated by not having Kobe around for a full lifetime. But I mean, to go and do the logo and the numbers and whatever, like, it's just. I think an award is more than an awesome gesture, and I don't know that he would have gotten it if this hadn't happened. I mean, I don't think he would have necessarily, right? No. No way.
No.
Yeah. Ty's shaking his head. No, it doesn't work. Ty, I don't know if you know this, but shaking your head does not work.
The audience couldn't hear that?
Yes, no, they could not hear that.
I could hear it.
Oh, then shut up. Oh, yeah, you could hear that from wherever the hell you are right now?
Yeah, you guys. It's loud over there, man.
Oh, okay. I don't know if we had anything else Kobe-related that we wanted to touch on. Was there anything else, Matt, that how are you doing with all this? Because obviously he was your guy.
Like we talked about how different people can, you know, show their love for him or whatever. Monday I went to school with the Kobe jersey on, you know, I got to coach a game with the jersey on. So a lot of people, you know, really liked it and all that stuff. So, and I just told, and there, you know, some. I actually had a kid come up to me in school and was like, you know, are you going to have your kids do something to honor Kobe? Because, you know, you know how kids are. Like, they see the 24-second shot, and we don't have a 24-second shot clock and all that kind of stuff. So they were asking me. And I just said, you know, I'm just going to tell the kids, and it's what I told them. I said, the only way, if you really want, you know, want to show love for Kobe or, you know, play for Kobe, it's really just do it on the court and just play with that tenacity, that competitiveness, that drive. That's how you show up.
Yeah,
screw
the theatrics. Just go out and play basketball.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they were like, oh, do a moment. I'm like, no, we're not doing all that. Like, hey, you know what Kobe would want? You to go out there and compete your ass off. And that's it.
That's what he was all about, for sure. And that's why Kemba...
I saw,
Go ahead.
I saw a video on Twitter today of him guarding D Wade full court.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yes,
gave me goosebumps, man. That gave me goosebumps.
Locked him up.
Yeah,
locked him up.
He was all.
Well, I mean, think about that. What guy in the NBA does that anymore? Full court, just come on. That's crazy.
Yeah. No. You never see anything like that ever. He had him.
But I'll give you a little hot take, and I know Ty's not going to like this, but I just feel it. I don't know why. I think the Lakers are going to win the championship now.
Really?
Is Nick Red on the phone right now? Is it...
Wow! Oh, because
no.
Oh, of the Kobe stuff.
I don't. I'm just saying, like, when stuff like this happens, you remember the Red Sox and the Boston Marathon kind of stuff.
Yep.
Like, I just feel like LeBron is just going to is going to be on a different level.
Yep.
And like, I don't know. I just feel like stuff like this can give a team more drive. I don't know. I'm not saying I'm rooting for the Lakers. I'm just saying that's my feeling now.
Yes. No, I get that. That Glenn was actually saying that to me earlier, too. I think that's fair. Stuff like that is definitely real. It makes a huge difference. And yeah, I was just thinking, like the Lakers, they had just lost to the Sixers. They got blown out by the Celtics. Like, where are they going? And then, you know, yeah, this can change the course of things for them for sure. Or they could go in the other direction. But you're probably right, Matt. Before we let you go, we had a question that was sent to us, and Ty and I talked about it before, and I was blown away by Ty's take on this. This is from, you know, obviously the Medeiros mailbag, which we haven't really dug into much lately or advertised at all. Would you guys take Jimmy Butler's off of the game the other night, Jimmy Butler over Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum?
And you're saying, like, this question means, like, right now.
Right now.
They're all the same age.
No. Right now, like we're as
no,
is.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's my fault. Oh, I said the wrong age.
Yes.
Their age is what they are right now.
Yes.
Okay. No, I keep Tatum and Brown.
Ty, would you care to tell him what you said?
I said I would trade Jimmy Butler straight up. If I had Jason Tatum, I would give Tatum up and bring in Jimmy Butler.
But he would not do it for Brown.
Not for Brown, though. I'm a Brown guy. You know that.
No, I wouldn't do that. If you put a gun to my head, I wouldn't do that.
Can I explain my rationale, though? I said,
yeah, you can explain it.
I said that I think Jimmy's one of the best two-way players in the league, and I think that Jaylen's on that same trajectory. I think that we've explained this debate before. I think that Jaylen's the better athlete, the better shooter, and the better defender. And I would always take a very good two-way player over a great offensive player any day of the week.
Well, I just think if you're pairing Brown and Butler, you're pairing two of the same guys, and I don't think that makes
sense.
See,
I didn't factor that. That's actually a good point.
That's a great point.
That's a really good point.
That's why we miss you.
Because to me, I like Jimmy Butler a lot. I'm just saying if he is who he is. He's not going to get any better. He's hit his ceiling. I'm gambling that Brown and Tatum are going to continue to grow and grow and grow. And to me, Butler is what I would like Brown to be and then exceed. So I wouldn't trade Tatum. The reason I think Tatum and Brown are, like, you know, interesting to me is that I feel like, you know, they can mesh because they have different games. But like we've also talked about, and I think it's a real thing. Shout out to our second, you know, Dan listener.
Yes.
I do think, because if you think about it, I was thinking about this the other night. Remember what Dwayne Wade had to do for LeBron?
Yep.
Because he had to, like, initiate LeBron to be the man because they needed, even though they're both really good players, one of them had to be the man, the go-to guy. And I think Tatum would be over Brown. If Brown is fine with that role, can he do that? Is that going to hurt his ego? I don't know. They seem like they like each other. But I think that's – when I see these two play, that's my ceiling from them. Not saying they're LeBron and D-Wade, but I'm saying, like, Tatum's the guy – and Brown's the, you know, it's Batman and Robin. They can't be two Batmans.
Right.
That's the way I see it.
Yeah. No, I argued the point with him earlier, so you're pretty much saying what I was saying before.
I think Tatum's maxed out as a player, so that's my reasoning.
That's the other thing, too. He thinks he's maxed out. That's right.
Who's maxed out?
He thinks Tatum is what he is now. He's not getting better.
He's like 21.
Michael Carter Williams has been the same guy who he's been for like 5 years.
I mean, well, here's the rookie of the year. This is a whole different... That's a whole different story. We're talking about Syracuse. Any guy that comes in the league from Syracuse can't play defense anyway.
Or shoot.
And if you don't have a good offensive game, a la Melo, you're a nobody. That's a Syracuse problem. They play stupid-ass zone.
To our listeners out there, please, if you haven't already, do not turn off the podcast because of what Tyler just said about Michael Carter-Williams. And
please, if you listen to this podcast and you coach a basketball team, do not play zone.
Oh, my God. Right. We were talking about that earlier.
This is an epidemic. I can go on a rant about this.
Go ahead.
How many middle school kids their coaches have them play a 2-3 zone. You're not teaching them anything.
If you're not
all
athletic.
You're teaching them is how to be lazy.
Yes.
Not guard anybody.
Yes.
And that's why when they get to high school, they suck and they can't play defense.
Yes.
Oh, it's amazing.
So I take it you've been having a frustrating time with the coaching.
No, we just beat a team the other day by 25 because, and they were actually a good team. They just sat in a zone and we just scored at will because they didn't want to play defense. And then the coach comes up to me after and he's like, yeah, we couldn't really figure you guys out. Every team we play against plays zone and you guys play man. I'm like, well, because I try to teach the kids how to actually guard somebody because they actually want to play basketball. That's what you have to do.
Mm-hmm. This is a middle school team.
Huh.
It's no, but it's all middle school teams because, to be honest with you, like most middle school coaches, all they care about is winning. And it is easy to win if you play against a team that may be athletic but can't shoot because you just pack it in the zone. Most middle school kids aren't like volume shooters. So,
right. They're not going to make you pay from the court.
You're probably going to win. You might win, mm-hmm. but it's like, what are you I mean, aren't we supposed to be teaching kids how to play? And that's why I look at the NBA now. I'm like, who the hell plays defense?
Well, that's why we're seeing like that. We were just talking about how the Heat, their zone defense was a huge issue for the Celtics last night in the second quarter, and obviously they figured it out later on. But it seems like a lot more teams are going back to that zone.
All zone is bad. Like Ty was just I heard Ty say, unless you're athletic, that makes sense. Like you mix it up, but you can't just tell me playing a 2-3 zone for a whole game is good.
Well, no, you just sit in a zone. If you're just sitting back in the zone like that and just packing it in, then you're screwed. There obviously has to be a lot. You can't just go. Yes.
Well, if you're playing a zone, you're admitting one of two things. You're admitting you're not good enough to stop the other team man to man.
Amen.
Yep. Or the other thing is you don't think the other team, the offense, can shoot.
Right. Which in middle school, yes, but at the same time, at the
but no, we're talking about the NBA. Yeah. This is the Miami Heat.
Yes,
the Miami Heat are playing the zone against the Celtics last night. Like, that's ridiculous.
But if you play zone for some possessions, I can understand that because that throws people off. You're in a different look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, but now we're starting to see some of these guys are trying to play that zone because that's why Brad likes having all these switchable guys, and that's why we're talking about trade rumors and stuff. He wants guys who can just cover the same area. It doesn't matter. Like, Smart, you can do that with because he's so physical and all that crap.
Whereas the Heat don't want Bam Adebayo to be switching on a ball screen or nothing like that. They cannot do that.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, I've always been a believer that you have to be able to guard man-to-man because at the end of the day, it all comes down to stops. Who can get stops at the end of games? And I don't think you can get stops playing the zone. And in the NBA, they've made they've made it so you can't play really good zone because you can't stand in the middle of the paint.
Exactly.
But, it's sad. Like, I go on a rant about it. I see it all the time. And it's embarrassing when the other coach, like, says to me, and I have to be like, yeah, man, I get it. Yeah, we play decent man-to-man defense. But it's like, well, no kidding. Your kids don't know what to do against man. They're used to playing against the zone when everybody's in the paint or, everybody's lazy. They jump.
Yep.
They're not disciplined. Well, when they get to high school, I see it. Like, I see it at the high school level. Most of these kids don't know how to play health defense. They don't know how to guard the ball.
What I understand at the youth level, Matt, is like there's such an emphasis, and I guess sometimes it's tough with parents, but there's such an emphasis on winning still. And don't get me wrong, you're not going out there, you're not playing to lose, obviously. But as a coach, you got to be like committed to the process and trying to teach them how to do it the right way because you're trying to help them get to the next level. And obviously you strive to win within that, but you don't want to, if you're just cheating them the whole time, then what the hell's the freaking point? You're not helping them at all.
No, and it really is. It comes down to that. Some coaches, I think it's two things with coaches. Either one, they really want to win, right? And that's kind of their best way to win. Or two, don't know how to teach man-to-man or they're just lazy coaches because it's easy to just be like, all right, we're going to play 2-3.
Yeah,
I'm not joking with you. We've played this year, my middle school team that I coach, we've probably played like 7 or 8 games. Not one team has played us man-to-man. And the one team that switched halfway through man-to-man, it was – I mean, my kids were literally just taking the ball and just going by someone. There was no help layup. And it's just like, what a joke. It's bad.
Was that Bradford's team that he coaches?
No, we haven't played Bradford's team yet.
I couldn't imagine that.
He didn't schedule our varsity. Our JV team's going to play his varsity, or their top middle school team, whatever.
Oh, okay. Because Rob actually coaches. Yeah, I'd love to see your middle school team go against his varsity team. I'm sure you're at least better coached, your team.
Oh, I'd outcoach him, but I don't think we'd outplay.
Oh, man. All right. Hey, Matt, I'll catch up with you later. Thanks.
All right. Good talking to you guys.
So what do you think, Ty, when it comes to Perk, he wants us to put respect on Middleton's name, like we were talking to Matt about a second ago. He wants us to put respect on Chris Middleton's name because he dropped 51 points on the Washington Wizards the same night that Bledsoe had 34, I think it was.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
151 points as a team and no Giannis Antetokounmpo. You watched that game, actually, right?
I bet on that game.
You bet? Oh.
I bet the under.
Oh, you don't.
I said, Vegas, this line's too good to be true. It's 241. There's no Giannis. How are they going to score 100? Even if the Bucks score 140. I mean, we really think that they can get to 240 total? Like, no, there's no chance.
Oh,
and it was at, like, it was 88-63 at half. That's a third quarter score for the Bulls. Come on.
Please tell me you were at home this time and not at a
sports
book.
I was at home throwing things, yes.
Okay, good. Better you throw things at home.
The Wizards are just, they're miserable. Like, they were fronting guys in the post with no weak side help last night. It was like, this is like fourth grade stuff we're doing here.
Yet Bradley Beal is complaining about how he's not getting into the All-Star game.
Not you, Brad Beal. He's shut up. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but back to the Middleton thing. Look, he's good.
He's good.
If he got into the All-Star game this year as like the wild card or whatever, I'd be fine with it because of how good the Bucks are. That's the only reason. I mean, his numbers are good for sure, but I feel like we talk about Brown benefiting from Tatum. You put Chris Middleton on most of the teams, he's not going to put up the numbers that he's putting
up.
He's
a number three at best.
Yes,
I think.
On most teams. I think that's totally
And Milwaukee fair. Milwaukee gets by with him being their number two because Giannis is legitimately like the best player in the world for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying. He makes up the gaps of not having elite talent alongside of him because he's so damn good.
And he's starting to shoot threes more and more, and it's getting a little like, how are you gonna stop this guy? Which we'll get to.
The free throw line, I guess, you know?
Big guy shooting three-pointers. We'll talk about Zion a little bit later. But Perk's been good on some things lately, but there are other times where it's like, you know, he's trying to ride Russ a little bit too much. Like he's trying to support him a little bit.
He's Mr. Thunder.
Yeah,
Mr. Thunder.
I mean, he is Mr. Thunder in my book.
Yeah.
But I just like Perk. There are some guys who are fun to watch for sure, but they are just not the way they play the game. It doesn't work. Like they're not, it's not going to get the job done. And that's kind of what Russ is. Middleton is a little bit different. But Middleton also usually wants too much money. Like you said, it just works because Giannis is what it comes down to.
Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, Victor. Well, he's back on the court.
He's back.
Thank God, man.
I don't know how I missed this. I mean, it's a regular season basketball game. It's not a big deal.
But it's against your Chicago Bulls.
I don't watch them anymore.
Oh, you gave them up?
I literally do not want to invest my time watching the Bulls.
Well, as we're recording this right now, I have it on my iPad. He's got 4 points, 2 assists, and a rebound. So he's getting it going. I don't know what the score is right now. For some reason, that's not up. Oh, it's...
I got 15 guys to develop.
Oh, yes. No, I can understand. Actually, that's what it was. When we were talking last episode, we were talking about coaches that might get canned, and I forgot to bring up Boylan.
I got 15 guys to develop.
Someone, I think it was Fennis Dembo, called us out on Twitter. He's like, you guys forgot about Ty's guy. He's like, oh, shit, that's
What was
right.
it last week? I think you tagged me in the tweet from 5 Out where he called a timeout with, 5 seconds left, and they were up 9.
Yes. What the hell's wrong with this guy, dude? He's so brutal.
Like the crowd is like, what are we doing? Like this is embarrassing.
Did you see Kobe White's in a commercial too? I think it was for like tires.
Oh no.
Dude, it's like for tires. I think it's from the NBA though. But I'm listening to it. It's like I like him a lot. And he seems like a good dude, and that's part of why I like him. But he's mumbling through the commercial.
No, he's not a great speaker.
Yeah, he's
not much charisma there with Kobe White.
Yeah, it's maybe you got to work on that a little bit, but if you're going to keep doing that, I'm all for you doing it, but you got to work on it a smidge. So right now we say Middleton is a three. We'll go with that. That's about as much respect as you're going to get out of us, Perk. But going to the Beal stuff, so a lot of players have been talking about the All-Star vote and everything. Spencer Dinwiddie talked about how he's not going to win those things because sometimes it's a popularity contest. Now, I understand his point because you look at Kyrie, he goes and becomes, second in the fan vote. Kyrie does not deserve to be an All-Star this year. That's what my argument always is with awards, too. When someone says, LeBron James should be the MVP every year, or you say that about Tom Brady or Kobe, you know, he only won it once, whoever. Mike Trout in baseball, it's not about who's the best player in the game right now. Some player, like overall, year in, year out, like this guy's the most talented. It's about who's the best individual person in that season. And sometimes it's LeBron, sometimes it's not. And when it's All-Stars, Kyrie is a stud on the offensive end. But if he's not playing, then how the hell are you going to put him in a game where it's all the guys who've been playing the best this year? I'm sorry. So if he could get in as a reserve. But anyways, what I'm saying is Dinwiddie's right. He's not going to win that when it comes to the popularity contest portion of it. He could still get in as a reserve. A lot of people are showing him respect. Bradley Beal could get into, but he was upset about it because, you know, he talked about it with Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports, and I think we have the sound.
Fan voting.
It's terrible.
I want to make sure.
I'm blunt. I'm very blunt.
Okay, I'm glad you're blunt.
Fan voting is absolutely, it's horrendous, man.
So this is the third returns, and I'm looking at the East guards.
Yep.
You are ninth.
Ninth.
I'm looking at, so number one, Trae Young, then Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker, Derrick Rose, Kyle Lowry, Zach LaVine, Jaylen Brown, Ben Simmons, then it's you, and then 10th last is Fred VanVleet. Do you think fans should have a vote?
Before he answers that question, he's pissed, and you can hear him like mumbling under his breath.
Yeah, it's a joke.
It's ridiculous. The Wizards have no fan base.
Yep.
They have none.
Yep.
When was the last time you ever saw that building full? Ever?
I never.
The arenas and Gilbert Arenas and Antoine Jameson days, yeah, against LeBron, like in the Cavs and that first round. Like, that is the only time they've ever seen any fans in the building. So he's mad that he is ninth in the Eastern Conference guards among fan votes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what's going to
happen.
The fans
didn't vote for you because your team doesn't have fans.
Because what's the issue at the end of the day?
They don't win.
They suck.
They don't
exactly.
win.
Win a ball game one time. Please.
Please. Try once.
Yes.
Fans should have a vote. Be careful, Brad. Be careful.
It's tough because you can't – we respect fans and we love our fans, you know. But we also know that there are a lot of people out there who don't know the game. We also know there's a lot of people who just have favorite players and don't watch everybody else. Yeah. We all know that there's people who, you know, who – they're going to vote just one guy because that's his favorite player, his favorite everything. So I don't have that.
Yeah. I know. Whose fault is that then?
So for me, it's kind of an unfair advantage in a way, but it is what it is. You know, you got to win some damn games, and maybe you can have some more votes.
Hey.
You think that we should alter the voting process a little bit?
Yeah. I feel like fans should have a smaller percentage.
Right now, fans have 50. And then media and
that's a bit much.
Players 20. That's too much?
That's a bit much.
I mean,
what is he? Okay, so he finished.
It's a fan event, man.
He finished ninth in the fan voting. He finished, fifth in the media ranks. The media wouldn't put you in the starter. So what?
That's true.
What is he mad about? That he's not a starter?
Because he think. Because this is what happens.
You're not better than Trae Young or Kemba Walker, dude. Like, what are you talking about? You're Brad Beal. You're scoring a shit ton of points on a bad team.
I can understand why he'd be pissed about Trae Young doing so well, though. Because Trae Young's team
is the same situation, but he is so much more.
So
he's easier to root for. He's a likable guy.
Yes,
he is flashy. He is Steph Curry in the Eastern Conference. He plays on a fun team.
Does
you know,
Atlanta
they suck.
Have this rabid fan base that I don't know about? Actually, now that we're saying it, do
no,
they?
No.
No, no, they don't. No,
no.
So and look what he's doing. Right, he's turning heads. He's doing it on his own. Right.
Oh,
he's,
so you're saying that the most votes for the Eastern Conference guards shouldn't have gone to Trae Young?
No, I'm saying based off of what Bradley Beal's whole logic is, or you're saying before,
yeah,
about how
they have no fans, neither do the Wizards, and yet one guy is number one in the fan voting, and the other guy is nine.
Exactly. That's exactly my point. Because
you don't play any defense, and you're not likable, and you complain a ton, and it's just like, nobody watches the Wizards.
No.
At all. I mean, nobody watches the Hawks, but I mean, there's a certain style of play that is easier on the eyes to watch of Trae Young's than it is of Brad Beal.
And that's the thing with Kemba versus Kyrie, where he runs into a problem too, is I think Kyrie is, I've said it for a long time. Kyrie looks, when he plays, when he's dribbling out there, like in making his moves, it looks like he learned how to walk and dribble at the same time. I stand by that. That's why I like watching him so much. Kemba is great. He has a lot of moves, and he has that great step back that we all know from when he was in college, blah, blah, blah. But like, Kyrie has a fluidity to his game that few guys do. Trae Young has this flashiness that few guys do. But the thing is with Bradley Beal, it's like you're in D.C. That's what's going to happen. And, I mean, the thing is, you make all this money still at the end of the day. First of all, don't stay in D.C. if that's much of an issue. Like, if you're really that upset about it, You shouldn't be in D.C.
Why does he care about all-star voting?
Right. That's the other thing. If you do well enough, the players are going to help you get in the media, because that's what happened with Kemba. Because the fan
vote. It's not the entire equation here, guys.
Exactly.
It's not 100% of the fan vote. It's 50.
Mm-hmm. The guys who the media and the fan, the media and the players thought should be the 1-2 guards got in.
Yeah.
Kemba Walker, Trae Young. They got in. Kyrie didn't. The players had him at 6. It worked itself out in the end. So he just, I get.
Now, the players did have him 2nd. So that's where he probably sees it.
Yes.
My peers thought that's I was 2nd. So why don't you jackwagons watch it at home? You amateurs.
Well, the media didn't either.
Yeah, if the players think I'm so good, why don't you guys think that?
But I wonder
that's
how.
That's probably what he's thinking.
But that's also where it comes down to, like, how much of that is on reputation. Some of these guys, it's like, he's good. He's talented. He is very skilled. There's no two ways about it. We were talking about possibly like dishing him in the offseason, right? That was one of the rumors. Yes, he's very good, but at the same time, like if you're not winning, then it's. I'm sorry. It's just I Trae Young getting in there. I mean, if he's flashy and he's got a lot of buzz, so he deserves to be there to some extent. But at the same time, he doesn't win. I don't know.
Who's before we call Matt here and get into the Kobe stuff? Who is Shake Milton?
Shake Milton?
Shake Milton.
For who's he play for? I don't know who you're talking about.
He got a player vote for the All-Star game.
Oh, you know who didn't get, I think who ended up being Mr. Irrelevant was who's the guy? He was
there's two guys on here. It's Justin Robinson and Chris Chioza from Washington.
I know Chris Chioza.
Well, they didn't get any votes at all. They got nothing. But
Jeff Green, I think, ended up being Mr. Irrelevant, I think, in all of it. Jeff Green, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, there's a handful of guys who got, like, one player vote. I don't know who's
Jeff Green didn't
Michael get Carter Williams got one player vote. Like,
somebody tweeted.
Dwayne Bacon got one.
Someone tweeted out the other day, though, that Jeff Green was Mr. Irrelevant in the end. But, yeah.
Only 271 fans worldwide voted for Chris Chioza.
Jeez.
Wow. It's probably Chris Chioza doing all 271.
So last thing we got to touch on is Zion, because he has played since the last regular episode that we did. And he played against the Celtics. And who did he open up against? Why am I drawing a blank? Holy crap. Who did Zion open up against?
He played against
the Spurs.
The Spurs.
That's who he opened up against. They didn't win in the end, but obviously they're taking him out in crunch time. But he's... he goes off for 22 in the first game. Had was 17 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
4 for 4 from three. Does well against the Celtics. I believe he had a double double. I just wanted to get your thought. Like, I mean, I think the guy looks like he's exactly what everybody thought he was going to be in the end.
He's a highly efficient player who might shoot like 10 of 11 like every single night he steps on the court, like with 10 dunks.
Yeah.
If he's going to be dared to shoot threes and makes teams pay like that, like in the opening night, I haven't watched the last 2 games he's played 4 so far, he's going to be scary.
He only needs to shoot 30. He needs to shoot league average and he'll be fine.
If he can be honest at the 3-point line, he will be an all-star next year. Easy.
Yes, easily. Oh, yeah.
Healthy and shoot, yeah, Giannis percentage at 3-point line, and he's golden.
He's a dude. He's.
But that's the big question, though, is whether he can stay healthy.
It's the problem. But, I mean, look, it's the start of his career. You know how these things are. They're babying him. They were saying, I heard I forget who the reporter was. I was hearing, might have been Perk that said it, actually, on Dalen Keefe. I think he said that Zion was 100% for a little bit. But they wanted to take it easy with him. They wanted to play it safe.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen with this guy early on.
They had to reteach him how to walk and jump.
Exactly. At some point, they're gonna take the training wheels off. But right now, it's his first year.
It should have been the first game. I don't get the minutes limit stuff with players. If you're going to come back and be clear to play in a game, be clear to play whenever the coach wants you to play. If you're not the coach is not going to play in 48 freaking minutes. That'd be negligence. You're deserved to be fired.
Right.
If you're not going to play Zion Williamson in the crunch time of a game when he's your second best player or probably your best player in that game, Brandon Ingram was really good at that game as well. If you're not going to play him in crunch time when it matters, then why are you playing him at all? What's the point?
To get him to, because you're trying to just get him ready for game action. I don't know. Like that's my.
Then go have him run at the varsity girls high school basketball
team
down the court.
You know that's not the same thing. He's got to get used to it.
Game reps are important, but
yes, difference than just practice.
Right.
You can't replicate game reps.
No,
in any sport.
But if you're gonna give him game minutes and say 25 is the limit, fine, stick to the limit. But strategize those 25 minutes. Don't start him for the 6 to 7 minutes at the start of each quarter, and then take him out like it's a routine. That is the easiest thing to prepare against. As it was obviously the first game, so Pop didn't have like any trends to go off of. But if he can see something building up,
yeah,
he can easily decide, I'm going to play the matchups. Okay, I'm going to have, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge and Jakob Poeltl in the lineup when Zion's out there, as opposed to, okay, now I know he's going to come out at the 6.5-minute mark and I can bring these guys back in, go smaller. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, why are you playing a guy and not strategizing or
adjusting
his minutes to the game script?
Yes, that makes no sense. That's strange that he goes and takes him out. At that point,
it cost them the game against the Spurs. They lost the game. He had 17 points in the fourth quarter of his 22, and they lost because they pulled him out of the game.
Yes. Yeah. No, you're right. When they're not adjusting in that capacity,
it shouldn't last forever. He should. I mean, that's who's their coach?
Gentry.
It's not going to last forever. It's just a minutes limit thing.
No.
You said, training wheels, and he'll be fine.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing we're seeing is the 3-point shooting is. I mean, if the guy comes out and goes 4-for-4, it's like, oh, shit. But I think the instincts with this guy, I mean, we all saw it in college a little bit, but it's just like, you're going to do the same thing at this level, it's going to be the Pelicans are going to become a problem. And they could end up helping the Celtics out a little bit because that eighth spot, where it comes like, hey, the Pelicans got to win some ballgames still, but... they're not that far away from the eighth seed.
They'll pass the Grizzlies before the end of the year. I'd put my life on it.
Like, really? Oh, hey, you got to stop doubting the Grizzlies so much. They still look pretty good. They beat the Nuggets last night.
They did.
Yes.
And they handily beat the Nuggets last night.
Yeah.
From start to finish. But anyways, I would honestly...
I would
expect the Pelicans... Clark. You're in Drew back healthy. Ingram's been killing it. You got Zion back now. Lonzo's finally starting to get healthy. This team's kind of starting to come together for the first real time all year. And the Grizzlies, I kind of think that they've been maybe a little bit of a flash in the pan a little bit. I mean, Ja's been great. Jaren's been good. Your guy Brandon Clark's been good.
Yes, he has.
But I do think that in the long term, the Pelicans are the better team, and we'll show that now that they're healthy.
Mutt's going to be disappointed with that because he was starting to hope that J.J. Redick was going to be bound for Boston. He wanted to see him in here.
Who? Mutt?
Mutt did. Yeah, he was asking me about that the other day on Friday.
And entertaining is better than smart and boring.
That's... honestly, he's not wrong.
I'm not dumb.
Well, that I don't know about. But anyways, is there anything that we did not get to touch on?
No. I have nothing to rant about against my Bulls. I don't watch them anymore.
Well, I don't know what the
score is. Anything else happened in the last week? No. All-star game voting's dumb, whatever. Don't really care about it.
We'll know the reserves by the next episode.
Tomorrow, yes. The 30th, January 30th.
Oh, that's right. So we won't. Yeah. So we'll know by next episode. Maybe we'll do. I don't think we'll do an emergency.
If you're listening to this and you're driving to work this morning, check out later in the day. You'll have, I'm sure, on WEI.com. Nick Fryer will be posting.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Reserves. I got to come into the city early.
I got you content
for
tomorrow's.
Yeah, definitely.
Work day.
Definitely. Victor Oladipo as of right now, still 4 points, 3 assists, and a rebound.
Victor Oladipo.
We will talk to you guys again next week.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it, yeah. I'm just trying to spend the night with it, yeah. I just want to be all right with it. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions. I'm just hoping for some...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.